Welcome to Spotlight on Africa with me, Daniel Finnan. This week, we're going to be hearing about the state of the continent's economy. The World Bank this month published its latest analysis, entitled Africa's Pulse. It looks at the challenges the region is facing, economically. Overall, the International Financial Institution says growth in sub-Saharan Africa is picking up. It's not quite as fast as they originally forecast last year, but still encouraging, according to the World Bank. In particular, this has been helped by rising commodity prices, such as oil or metals. So what does this all mean? We spoke to the report's author to find out more. Welcome to Poonam Chuhanpole, lead economist for the Africa region at the World Bank, joining us on the line from Washington. You say that economic recovery is underway in sub-Saharan Africa. What are the main drivers of this?
Well, the recovery that began in 2017 is continuing. Some of the same factors that helped facilitate the growth last year are helping to support growth this year as well. We expect commodity prices to be fairly stable. Last year, actually, they went up quite strongly, but we expect stability in commodity prices moving forward with a slight upward trend in oil. We also expect continuing robust growth in global trade and a generally supportive global financial market conditions. So overall, we expect growth to pick up from 2.7% in 2017 to 3.1% this year and forming to 3.5% next year and about 3.7% in 2020.
Nigeria has exited over a year of recession, according to your research. What are the reasons for this?
The recovery in Nigeria, which began last year and picked up momentum in the second half of the year, is being led by a recovery in oil production and commodity prices going up, which is helping the economy generally. Agriculture was also growing last year. We expect that moving forward, oil production and the oil sector will continue to grow. The area that we think is lagging is non-oil industry and services.
Is the increase in economic growth in sub-Saharan Africa, is it likely to really lead to improvements in the standard of living for people on the ground?
The recovery is good news, of course, but the pace of the recovery is moderate, and that reflects actually the gradual pickup in growth in the largest economies like Angola, South Africa, and Nigeria. However, there's a lot of diversity within the region, and we have countries that are growing at a fairly robust pace, and that were growing at a robust pace last year, and we expect them to continue to grow at a robust pace. For example, Côte d'Ivoire. We also have Ethiopia, which is one of the fastest growing countries in the world. So there is a fair amount of diversity. If you actually exclude the three largest countries, growth is expected to be at about 4.7% in sub-Saharan Africa. Now, what does it mean in terms of people's, you know, livelihoods? Are they seeing an improvement? At growth rates which are below population growth rates on aggregate, right, for the region, you don't see an increase in per capita income last year. This year, there will be a growth in per capita income in real terms, but we think that, you know, growth has to be a lot faster to be able to accelerate poverty reduction and to deepen the gains that the region has made in terms of poverty reduction.
What's the significance of more countries now issuing sovereign bonds, selling their debt?
One of the issues that we examine in the Pulse is to see, you know, what is happening in terms of the evolution of debt and debt risks. We find that for the region as a whole, debt has been rising relative to GDP. Actually, the rise has been fairly rapid between 2013 and 2017, after a period when actually public debt burdens were falling through 2012. So debt has picked up. Public debt burden. The increase has been, you know, the median increase is about 20 percentage points relative to GDP. But there is a lot of, again, there's a lot of variation across countries. And so you do have countries which have had a more rapid increase in debt burdens and some that have not. One thing that we do find is that the composition of public debt has changed. And that comes to your question of, you know, more countries borrowing, you know, on commercial terms, borrowing in, you know, euro bonds. We do find that there has been a shift away from concessional and multilateral debt towards more market-based borrowing and market sources of debt. And we also find that countries in the region have been borrowing domestically. Governments have been borrowing domestically. So, yes, composition of debt has changed. The risk profile has changed. It's on more market-based terms. It's shorter maturities, all of which do raise issues of managing the risks that come from the nature of the borrowing.
So are you worried about the levels of debt or, as you put it, the composition of that debt?
It's a combination. When we look at the standard debt sustainability analysis that's done for low-income countries, we find that the number of countries that are now being categorized as being at high risk of debt distress has gone up. And I think that points to the need to actually manage debt well and manage the risks that emanate from debt. But I think one thing I want to sort of emphasize is that debt by itself is not bad because countries borrow to finance much needed spending on infrastructure, you know, be it in the electricity sector, be it in terms of transportation. So it's an important way to finance development, but it's important to also have the capacity to repay that debt.
You pick out Ethiopia as likely to remain the fastest growing economy in sub-Saharan Africa. Is this likely to be affected by the appointment of the new prime minister recently?
We have been looking at basically the global trends and the potential of the country. So the answer on that is our projections have not been affected by that.
Your outlook highlights one of the main risks has been the situation in the US. Could you just explain what threat you see here in terms of Africa's economic growth?
Well, the risks are more balanced moving forward, although they are on the downside. The risk from the, in a sense, globally and coming from the US would be more in terms of a faster pace of normalization of monetary policy. So if interest rates adjustments were faster than expected, that could affect financial market conditions globally, which comes to then market risk, you know, for countries having to manage their borrowings in, you know, euro markets or external borrowing. You know, and then, of course, there is a faster growth in the U.S. is actually a plus for the global economy and for sub-Saharan Africa. Trade tensions could be a downside risk, but I think all that remains to be seen.
Thank you to Poonam Chuhan-Pol, the lead economist for the African region at the World Bank, joining us on the line there from Washington, D.C. So it seems continued economic growth on the continent will in part be affected by factors such as the price of commodities, like oil and metals, the overall situation with global trade, and the state of financial markets and how they affect a country's debt. That's it for this week's Spotlight on Africa. From me, Daniel Finnan. Thanks for listening.